Hi everyone. Welcome. Okay. Nice to see all of you little squares. I'm just looking to see if is there anybody new. Just wave if you're new, not that it makes any difference. Hi Gaia, welcome. I think I spotted another new person. Yes, Zulaika, welcome. All right. Nice to see you all. Be comfortable. And don't hesitate, you know, during the meditation to, if your body wants to do something, obey the body. To a certain extent, if the body takes you to the fridge, do not obey the body during the meditation. All right. So if you're comfortable closing your eyes, please do. And as you close your eyes, you're entering the shrine. So you're not leaving us behind. You're taking us, each one of us, with you. And just settle, and in a way, settle into your body. I know it's not very good non-dual language, but actually, I don't really care. First of all, and second of all, I'm not sure that's true. I don't really know what non-dual language is anymore. I think everything that is said, expressed, created is non-dual in its essential nature. So as we enter the shrine, a good place to settle is in our felt sense, in our body. Which in a way is our shrine, our individual shrine. It's our little temple, our body. Our body's an amazing thing, non-thing. It's not a thing. In fact, we make it a thing, don't we? We turn it into a thing. But our bodies belong to life. And our bodies are, yes, these extraordinary organs of perception. That give a substance to our experience. Imagine if we were just having conceptual experience, how thin that would be. Our bodies somehow give depth and breadth and texture and lots of other things. To our experience, to how we experience reality. So it is a good place to settle, and I really can't explain what I mean by that. These words are poetics, to settle in your body. Well, it's really more to let the body, well, no, it's what it is, settle in your body, in your pelvis, in your breath. I think in a way, the body, our experience, the experience we call the body, without it in its organic, wholesome expression, we can't touch the absolute. And the absolute is what lives at the heart of everything, at every experience. And of course, I'm not sure what I mean by the body, because some part of me would like to say the heart. The body heart. Or maybe the word would be my beingness, my amness. My fullness. So give yourself permission to feel and to leave the thinking and conceptualizing, to leave it alone. It may not stop, but if you feel drawn up, I want to say, because often thinking seems to happen up there in the head area, behind the eyes, behind the forehead. But if you feel drawn up there, you just take the elevator right back down with your felt sense, right back down to your base, which let's call it the pelvis for now. And in one way to do that is to feel the weight of the pelvis, the volume of the pelvis, of the abdomen. Feel the intensity of feeling in the perineum, if you relax, if you're allowed. Don't have any fear, because we're amongst friends. And when I say don't have any fear, fear may rise up when we visit the body, because the body holds many layers, one of which may be fear. So when I say fear not, I mean fear not the fear if it arises. The fear when you are settled in your felt sense is a ripple. That actually could be labeled excitement, aliveness. So back to the perineum, and feel that you can release the weight that is held in the hips. Deep inside the abdomen, the little muscles at the bottom of the belly that we tend to hold without even knowing. Just gently allow them to be taken by the inhale. No, we're not looking for anything. That's what the mind likes to do. It looks for meaning, it looks for understanding and answers. It wants to know what will happen next. you know, and there's a place for that, of course, but not now. Now is the place for raw, tactile intelligence. Feel the breath. That's another place. Or rather, another experience. It's like an experience place when you go to the breath. You're going to life. It's very mysterious. So feeling the coming and the going of the breath, and allowing yourself to purify that coming and going of any effort, little by little. And to begin with, you have to come in close contact with the effort that we all make to breathe, to inhale and to exhale. As subtle as it may be, to begin with, really taste the habit of being the breather. Even you can exaggerate it so that you really feel its geography. You can exaggerate the pulling in of the in-breath, and then whatever the breather likes to do with the out-breath. And really feel the habit of tension that's associated with breath in the jaw, you know, in the hands, wherever. And there's no judgment, just really tasting what that's made out of, that innocent habit imposed on the body out of the belief in separation. And now come back to the breath with another intention, which is to feel it and taste it as an ambassador of creation, of life. So in a way, it's not me the breather, it's breathing happening in me. Without any effort, just taste the inhale, like a wave that rises. The natural pause at the top. And then following and tasting the exhale with a natural rest at the bottom. And the next, each one is a whole world. And welcome all the layers of, you know, discomfort, fear, emotion that lives embedded in the diaphragm, in the lower abdomen, that gets revealed as we explore the breathing that is effortless. And gently elongate the exhale a little bit so that you make it a little bit deeper and a little bit longer. So the in-breath rises like a wave effortlessly. Pause and then long, deep, smooth exhale. Feel the presence that you are that surrounds the experience and makes it kind, safe. In breath, a wave that rises. Exhale, a wave that dissolves long, deep. And let yourself feel the rest at the bottom of the exhale. And then also the rest at the top of the in-breath. They're different. They've got a sort of different quality. The exhale, the body empties, 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 and the rest, as if you were sinking into the ocean. The in-breath, the body filling, fullness of the body, and the rest at the top, maybe more shimmering, expanding. But don't impose anything. Maybe my words facilitate a relaxation and an allowing. Feel that the body and the breath belongs to life, and that there's no need to control life. But we can get acquainted with life. Of course, we are life. We are this movement. We are the breath. We are the body. We are Ellen's voice. But because we have sort of disconnected ourselves and forgotten this intimacy with our experience, we need to, well, we need to get reacquainted. But at the same time, we don't need to do anything. At the same, very same time, we're already what we are. We never are not what we are. And you can feel that too in this moment. That all is well, there's no need to do anything. Life takes care of itself. Ellen's voice comes and goes. The breath comes and goes. The layers of sensations, tension, density, thoughts. They just come and go. And there's no problem.
Give yourself full permission to taste that fact of your experience. That you are the presence that is here before Ellen's voice rises out of it. You are that which is present during Ellen's voice. And you're that in which Ellen's voice, alongside everything else, dissolves when it's time for experience to dissolve. So we can sometimes know ourselves as this presence where nothing needs to change or be done, all is well. And sometimes we know ourselves as our felt experience, where the belief in separation has a foothold, and we have to go and listen to our felt experience, so that in the listening, a listening that is wide open, the message to the body is that it is loved and that it is welcomed in its essential nature. And there's a very natural harmonizing of our felt experience with the truth. But we do have to listen somehow. We have to listen to those places that feel tense and dense. But that's all, we just have to listen. And even the word listen is a little bit unclear. It doesn't mean labeling or analyzing. It just means welcoming, really, on a tactile level, whatever comes. The welcoming is the returning of experience to its source. Maybe you feel your body very intensely alive now. Slowly let your spine elongate. And it's very, very subtle. Don't make a big movement, but rather feel it from the inside. You don't have any visual for your spine or for your torso. You have a feeling, more like an energy of a flame, or a line of energy that somehow rises. At the same time, your pelvis is really not rising, and you're not levitating. Your pelvis at the same time is dropping. So you can manufacture it a little bit. Feel that you're pulling the top of your head towards the ceiling, drawing the top of your head to touch the ceiling, and at the same time, every vertebrae comes to life. Don't just feel it from the outside of the body, really feel it from the inside. And at the same time, feel your legs and your arms and your perineum, your hips, your knees, your ankles, your shoulders, your elbows, your wrists, sort of dropping downwards. And then just suspend any effort. Now don't pull the top of the head, don't do anything. Feel your torso and your pelvis are free-floating, like suspended in openness. There's no floor under a body, there's just a cloud-like body. Give yourself permission, it's safe. The body loves to feel that. To feel its subtle nature. The floor is not hard, it's like a cushion of softness. It's okay to empty the body of its weight in all directions. I don't live in the body as an object. We could say I live as a flowing body. We can also say the body lives in me. Openness. Feel the borders of your body are very ethereal. You can't really tell where the body ends and where the space beyond the body begins. And if you want, feel that you don't have any borders. Because actually, that is your experience. There are sensations of density, or some sensations are a little bit more sort of, yes, dense. But if you come close to them, you can see how alive they are. Give yourself permission to let go of a tactile belief in a boundary, in a border. And if there's resistance, be happy. The resistance is the geography of separation at the level of the body. And it would like a chance to be seen for what it is. Maybe you feel your face, there's a lot of tension in the face, a feeling of a border there, my mask. Feel the tension in the forehead and the eyes, you know, and the jaw and the teeth. Give them those sensations a chance to be felt. Meaning, return them to the openness that is their true home. Now feel the whole body. Try to make all the different sensations and parts of the body into one global vibrating mass. Maybe you feel the temperature, warm, one global warm mass. With little ripples here and there, maybe, of what may be labeled, I don't know, pain, fear, it doesn't matter. You've got this mass, this vibrating aliveness with little ripples, very alive. And then you've got this peace that extends beyond. In which this mass can swim or expand, contract and relax. And we're going to add a bit of movement, very, very slow. Bring your hands towards one another. So you feel your palms touching. Just simple, you don't have to see what I'm doing, you just follow the instructions. Your palms are touching, you don't see your palms, you just feel this quality of tactility, temperature, and then bring your hands towards your torso as if in prayer position, so your thumbs connecting with your torso, slowly. Make sure your breath is allowed. And now slowly your hands are traveling alongside your torso towards the ceiling, very slowly, and don't do it. Rather feel your arms floating up. Smooth. Shoulders are not invited. Back of the head licks the space behind. Long neck, the chin towards the torso a bit. And then pause when you reach a place that is acceptable, beyond which you would be pushing. Just pause. And see if you can purify the posture of the doer. Just let this posture shine in openness. And now the hands open, palms facing forward. They separate and they begin to travel back down, right and left in a big arc, slowly. Long fingers, very alive, the fingers. Slowly, they're coming down, down, down. Be the openness that is tasting your arms as they dissolve. Your hands come back onto your lap. Your elbows, your shoulders drop. And now your chin is moving down towards your torso. And we're doing some neck rolls, very, very slowly, smooth. But we're not doing it. Once you start the movement, then feel that you're not doing it. It's a ripple in your waters. You are the waters of a lake that has been rippled. And you're just tasting the ripple. And the breath. And Ellen's voice. And you, because you're listening so intimately and so openly, there's a purifying of this ripple, a harmonizing. Yes, the direction changes, but you don't become too involved. You remain as the openness so that the ripple can harmonize with you. And now, without doing it, let the head float back to a place where it seems to disappear into you. A head like a helium balloon, completely free, empty. And now feel your shoulders moving towards your ears, your forearms sort of lifting off weightlessly. Drop your hands, shoulders moving up towards your shoulders, so towards your ears. Can you empty the body of any unnecessary tension in your wrists, in your eyes, in your hips? And now very smooth, the shoulders coming down. Make it as smooth as possible as a way to honor the openness all around. Don't be in a rush. If you're in a rush, it's the separate mover that's back in action. Shoulders are still moving down, down. Don't do it, allow it. And then your hands resting back down. Yes. And now let your spine round, collapsing your spine. Make it round. Feel there's some kind of, if you're leaning, don't lean against a chair. See if you can let your spine be free standing and then collapse your spine. But you can visualize and feel a big cushion of air supporting the lumbar, middle and upper back. And the breath is free. And then just naturally, slowly feel like a rising of the flame of the torso from the pubic bone. Feel it more in the front of the torso. It's as if the whole front of the torso is licking the space in front. The belly, the heart area, the upper chest. And then if you want, you can arch your spine between your shoulder blades a little bit, bringing your elbows back, even resting your hands to the back, your face towards the ceiling. Don't worry if you don't, you know, don't, there's no right way to do it. The right way is the effortless way. Yes, and then come back with your torso, with your hands. Find the place of emptiness, of stillness for the torso, for the spine, for the head. And we're going very slowly, which will reveal layers of impatience, boredom, anticipation. Some kind of difficulty will maybe peek out. And I invite you, when that happens, to be happy for this guest to really surface. You don't have to do anything for it to surface other than be interested, not have an agenda with it. You don't have to get too close. But at the same time, you shine a gentle light. And of course, those feelings I named, like boredom, agitation, if we don't consider them conceptually, they are going to be sensations, feelings in the body. They will be part of life. They would like to be connected to the whole again. Now let your body move free as a way to thank this body for its willingness to stay so still and submit itself to our exploration. But bodies like to move, and so give your body that freedom now. Begin with sitting. Eyes are closed, so there's absolutely no sort of judging or comparing. It's really letting your body decide. Your torso, your shoulders, your head. And also your feelings on the inside of the body, your emotions. And then the movement can grow with the arms maybe leaving, the laps rising out. See what arises if you allow movement free of any ideas. The mind will come in and want to take charge. You just come right back down into the felt sense. Let the body be like a river that ripples, and you, the movement just following the river of the body. Make sure the breath is free. Now, if the body wants to stand or roll, or absolutely no right or wrong here. If you have space and you can take it, take your time, feeling your legs, feeling your feet. Feeling the creature that is the body as well, or there are different things that can happen when we allow the body to move. We may find that some feelings and emotions come running because they have a chance to take a shape, to be moved, to express. So you really allow that. But you don't have to know what the feeling is, or if you know what the feeling is, let it morph. It may become something else. And sometimes it's just gestures, following lines of energies. Your fingers may know something that you can trust. Also your mouth. also your eyes, also every part of your body. You just listen. All you have to do is listen. Sit. Sometimes an image will come here because we are expressing in a way. Maybe an image comes, or a color, or a rhythm. Sometimes a creature arises. You can go for it. It's like a dream. You let the dream take a shape.
You're both the dream and you're the dreamer. So you can also taste presence that gives rise to this movement, to Ellen's voice.
And then very gently let the body come back to stillness. But feel that you are the stillness. It's like the body coming back to home, to you. Always, every experience arising in me. Every experience dissolving in me. Not to say that now the body is dissolving entirely. Doesn't have to. Just welcoming the totality of your experience now, just not just the body, just everything that arises, welcomed in its totality. And it's effortless, this welcoming of the totality. In a way, welcoming the totality of your experiences seems to be a lot of work, and I want to evoke exactly not any work. Be like the sky towards the clouds, sort of. The sky cannot not welcome the clouds. But the sky doesn't need to make any effort to welcome the clouds, because it's just pure openness. The sky can't contract. That would be the sky becoming a cloud. And then that cloud would have to work hard to welcome all the other clouds. That's what we do when we hear sometimes the pointers. We try to welcome our experience. Of course we can't, because in fact we are the welcoming of our experience. So don't worry about anything. Even if you're trying, that trying is a cloud in the invisible sky. If this whole yoga meditation has revealed a lot of resistance, no worries. That's the gift of this yoga meditation. I am the sky, welcoming effortlessly by nature. But sometimes I feel that I am a cloud, trying to be the sky, desperately longing to be the sky. In those moments when you can't find the sky, just be patient. Make sure you come into the shrine. Just tell the sky, I'm lost. I know I'm in you, but I'm still lost. Can you come get me? And then you just wait. If your prayer is sincere, which it is, you will feel the sky all around you. And soon you will relax the feeling of being a fragment. Don't do anything now, just abiding. Together, either as lost clouds, as the sky, doesn't matter, just together. Sharing silence for a few minutes. I'll take 5 minutes break and come back. See you in a few minutes.
Welcome back. Hi, Leslie. Can you tell when I know, when I'm going to say hi, who I'm going to say hi to? Sometimes I feel you can. It's funny. Okay, well, this is the chatty part of our meeting. If you want to say anything or ask or share. Karen, do.
I hope my explanation is understandable. Of course, much of one's life when you are doing this kind of work.
Oh, you froze, Karen. We've lost you, Karen, I'm afraid.
And things that one does.
Karen, can you start from the beginning? You froze for a bit, at least you froze for me. So,
okay.
Start again.
Yeah, we're having bad rain, so we'll see if this works out.
Okay, try to sort of do your best.
Quicker.
Yeah.
So, of course, many things in my life are things I've always been, you know, doing for a long time, going to my work, driving, eating. And yes, the quality and aspects of these things change because of this practice. But there are certain things and movements that really just sort of bring, like they're movements towards a deepening. So, you know, for example, there's not many people, I mean, I'm very fearful of COVID. There's not many people I want to listen to because I don't like the internet kind of thing. But this work right here is one of the very few things that I do. And it's just weird to me that the minute I sort of zoom in to this Zoom, there's just a peace. And it's just like, if we could say, and I don't like saying it, it sounds woo-woo, but like, ooh, this is right for me. This is what I should be doing. You know, it's just weird to me that like, yeah, this is somehow a different quality to it. And you know, just like when I heard Frances Lucille speak for the first time a couple years ago, I was like, oh my gosh. And then there was this movement towards, I want to go to a retreat, which was bizarre for me. And I flew out to California and I went on a retreat and it was just like, okay, this is right. And I don't understand, I don't know what you think about, like, what?
What the hell is that?
Yes.
Well, I don't think we should name that. It's very mysterious for the mind, you know. I had the same experience when I heard Francis. I mean, we've all had these experiences, right? Of this mysterious movement towards something's meant to be, a resonance, a recognition. And we feel that it's me who's being drawn. It's me who's resonating. It's me that's feeling this revelation. But it's the other way around. In a way, we're being pulled. We're being... I don't know. I'm not good at analyzing these kind of things, but all I know, Karen, is trust it. Especially when, you know, it takes you to places that you can see clearly are sort of good places, you know, where good people come for, or people come good and we're all good and bad, but I mean, we all come with a sincere intention and there's a resonance. I mean, I think that's what we call grace, or what they call grace.
Yeah.
So I think your mind will, you know, that's because I think you've got that one of those, which we all have, you know, that we want to understand. And how does this work? You know, is there an equation for that?
Yeah. Because, right, the body knows it. The body really knows it. It's fine with the body. The body's like, yeah, this is it. But I'm like, what is this?
Well, there are, you find your own words. But I mean, you know, the word intuition, the word grace. Though they will defy any analytical explanation, those words.
Yeah, and I shouldn't write, like, I mean, the body the body sort of intelligence or knowing is a knowing, and why should I de-elevate that?
Yeah, you know? Don't,
right, just the body knows.
Uh-oh, well, hold on, my oven is making a very strange noise. No, it's okay. Yes, it's not the body that knows, it's you. I mean, it's the body you. It's a kind of knowing that's not conceptual.
You're right.
It's without the shadow of a doubt. Sometimes we feel like a yes that is just a resounding yes, and I'm going to go to that freaking retreat and nothing is going to come in my way, and I don't have a penny in the bank, but I'm going to find a way because I got to go. And your mind's going, what are you doing? You've got your job to go to, and you're like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to this retreat, right? Yeah. And well, those movements are very big movements in your life. Yeah. And, you know, but because you were never in each one of, there was never a sort of little intelligence up here that, I know this is right. This is not right. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Pleasure, Karen. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Just wave if you have Is somebody going to talk? Yes.
I'll say something. Yeah.
Of course you can.
Okay. Yes, Karen, well, you said you're speaking for me too. There's something that, like, oh no, you're not going to be here last Tuesday. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to wait for 2 weeks to do that wonderful class, that there's something in me that just want to be here. And every week there's something that keeps unfolding all week long after I'm here. And today I had this amazing experience when you said something like, of course I'm going to use my words, but you said something about surrender to the breath. And it's not me breathing. It's like I felt like the cosmos is breathing me. And it was just, oh my God, you know? So I think in that space that I'm so relaxed, that I'm so kind of, you know, letting go of all these tensions and all these beliefs and stuff that keep me holding, I relax and I can really feel. And the breath today was just amazing. So just a big thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome, Vera. And it does help to come together and have guidance for sure. Yeah. But find your own way on your own, to find your own direct link to that cosmic breath, and mm-hmm. or at least try and see what comes in the way of that. It's harder mm-hmm. when we're on our own. For some reason, the belief in being a fragment is much more convincing when we're but anyway.
Yeah, and maybe that's what it is now that you're saying it. There's some things that happen to my body that I can bring to the week, you know? Maybe that's what the unfolding I experience here. Oh, there's breath. Oh, okay. Now I can kind of.
Yeah, you can. If it comes up, you know, if you remember in the middle of your week to come back sort of down into the body and to give 5 minutes to this sort of prayer. It's like a prayer.
Yeah.
It's, don't think of it as an exercise, which you're mm-hmm. not.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the mind immediately goes, oh, homework.
Yeah. It's a killjoy, right? I mean, it's like, who wants to do an exercise? I mean, unless you,
Unless you enjoy.
No, I'm not into that. Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, who is Anna? Is it Anna?
No.
Maria. No. Who's talking?
Maria Luca.
Maria Luca. Hi, Maria. Now I see you. Hi.
Ciao.
Ciao.
I want to share that as soon I seated, I was a couple of minutes, sorry, I'm late, I'm very sorry. As the body went crazy. It started, I mean, I do have kriyas, they happen, but this was it completely, and it's like if he was needing to the permission to, I would say, to go crazy and just to unwind and unravel. I don't have maybe the right word. And it was beautiful. And then when you say to move, I turn with the belly and on the earth, and it was feeling so good, so good. It was a sort of coming back home. I cannot explain exactly, but it was so beautiful and so relaxed. And this body is having a lot of problem, and I needed to come here and abandon myself.
Yeah. I think that's a nice word, abandon yourself, abandon your body, abandon the movement, abandon everything, really. And of course, when we abandon the body, in the sense of not abandon, like we know, like you abandon a poor little baby on the doorstep of the church, not like that. Abandon as an offering, you know, and an offering to freedom. And you said so relaxed, and I suspect it felt safe as well.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. Mm. Immediately, as soon as I seated there, it was amazing. It was so freeing, yeah, safe, feeling completely.
Is it the first time you've come, Maria?
I have come another time. It was in winter, but something I was not feeling comfortable, but something was happening with me, but I couldn't hear well you know, there was some problem with the sound, and I don't know. Then I felt that I was too restless. This was your this shrine, a place of beauty and of relaxation, of going deep, and I've been feeling so restless, and I thought this is not the place for me, but because, yeah, I'm too much, you know, for such a such sacred space, but I allow myself to come tonight.
Good. And we're never too much, and I hope because maybe sometimes it gets very, you know, spiritual and beautiful, and then all that is not so spiritual or so beautiful either feels like I'm getting the hell out of here, or it feels like I'm gonna stay, and I'm gonna show up. In other words, there's, you know, it's not about any ideas or even shapes of beauty or purity. It's really not about that, but I'm glad that your experience was what it was. Yeah. In both cases, actually, because, you know, even that first time it was,
yeah,
who knows how it works, but
yeah. Thank you.
Nice to see you. Yes, Anne.
Hi, as Maria said, that was so powerful, and absolutely loved it. But I caught the resistance coming in like towards at a certain period, like this thought came in, when is this going to be over, you know? And I was looking at it, I was like, it was like that little creature coming in. And it was just yeah, it was sort of a bit of a shock, actually, because I'd seen it, you know. I was sort of yeah, so I was thinking I was even embarrassed to say it, actually.
No, don't. I mean, we all, I mean, do you know, can you imagine the number of resisting thoughts that must have taken place in this last hour? I mean, there would be like, it would be enough thoughts, resisting thoughts and feelings to fill like a lot of space.
Yeah, but it was just that feeling of, you know, embarrassment about it, because it was like, oh my God, where, you know, that thought sort of coming from. But yeah.
But you have to understand, I mean, you don't have to understand, but I would like to say that actually those thoughts, and if we can not immediately buy what they're selling, like, when is this going to end? And of course the next thought is, yeah, really, when is this going to end? And then the next thing is like looking at your watch. And then the next thing is, I don't know, I've left meetings. I have left yoga meditation. Myself, of course, when I lead, I can't leave, but sometimes I'm like, when is this going to end? Because this is not happening today. but I want to say that, well, I've said it before, you've all heard it sort of many times, but those moments are really precious, because, and if we can sort of catch the thought, but then maybe from the thought come back, come sort of a little bit behind the thought to the feeling, when is this going to end? Which is a little bit more in tactile, I was going to say interesting, in the sense that it's going to be less of a concept, not less conceptual, and more of a something alive, a resistance that is a sensation, that, and you go there, you know, and you explore it, like the feeling of boredom or agitation, because that's what we're constantly following. It's that's the conditioning of separation, and we are constant, because we don't really see it, we don't really make space for it. It's always half in the obscurity, so we sort of see it, but we're so identified and habituated to follow it, to sort of be an identity with it. It's who I am, it's what I am, this person who can't wait for this session to be over. And we don't, but so if you can bear it and reassert your devotion to what is in that moment, which it's not something you can do, so in a way you have to pray for it, you know, and then that thought, when is this going to end, and also the feeling is allowed to surface a little bit more than usual, and that's it. I mean, not to get rid of it, not to, you know, but just that is profound. That is profound, because in that moment you've sort of you have returned to see to God what belongs to God, and to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Something like that.
Okay.
And also, I just also want to add that one who can't wait for it to be over is precious too, because that's a, you know, that is alive too. It's like, this is so boring. And then there is also something that may, you could give it, like you could just pause and go give that some kind of breathing space, but without, and then come back. So, because it's alive, that, you know, that like feeling of being like cornered by somebody guiding you, boring meditation.
Yeah, it's like some part of you that doesn't want to be here, you know?
Yes, so. Yes. So it's an interesting.
Who's that?
Yeah, and exactly, who's that? And that part of you may be a part that finally you can let rip. You know, nobody's going to hear you, and we all have our eyes closed, so you could just embody it, let go. Find the movement that goes with that feeling. The dance of this, when is this yoga meditation? You know, like, it's like the invitation is both to explore these expressions fully, but then also really, you know, explore, stay committed to the space in which they arise, so that you don't, you marry them, but you espouse them, but you don't marry them. You're married to the space, to the openness, but you're so in love with all this expression and all these facets of your, something like that.
Thank you.
You shall recite 10 Hail Marys. And
exactly, yeah.
You're Irish, aren't you?
Yeah, so yeah. That would go down like a lead balloon.
Thank you, Anne.
Thanks a lot, yeah, thank you. That was confession, by the way.
Yeah. You are blold. I think we're going to give Corinne her weekly platform. It's all yours, Corinne.
I totally know. I will give a confession that these meetings are so precious to me. Like, I love looking at everyone's face and just being here, but before every meeting, I think, maybe I'll cancel it. Weird. It's crazy. But so I just want to say, I get it too, and it's just strange. I don't know. I don't understand.
Shall I confess something? Before every single yoga meditation webinar thingy that I do, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll cancel. You know what? I'll just email Eugene and tell her, you know, same here. So
Ellen, you said the most beautiful prayer, I thought, that you said, well, you made it into a prayer. Sky, come and get me, you know, for feeling small or what. You didn't say any of this, but I often say, all right, God, I don't even know anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just come and get me. But I love Sky, come and get me. And I thought, well, so just the whole prayer, Sky, come and get me, you know, let me feel myself in you as you, you know, it's beautiful. And I was just reading earlier the Robinson Jeffers poem called Vulture Poem. And in it, he describes, it's quite wonderful. I had another beautiful poem picked out, but can I read it? It will take like 1 minute, I promise you. Or I could just
read it.
There's the best word in it. It's called Vulture Poem by Robinson Jeffers. I had walked since dawn and laid down to rest on a bare hillside above the ocean. I saw through half-shut eyelids a vulture wheeling high up in heaven, and presently it passed again, but lower and nearer, its orbit narrowing. I understood then that I was under inspection. I lay death still and heard the flight feathers whistle above me and make their circle and come nearer. I could see the naked red head between the and the great wings bear down staring. I said, my dear bird, we are wasting time here. These old bones will still work. They are not for you. But how beautiful he looked, gliding down on those great sails. How beautiful he looked, veering away in the sea light over the precipice. I tell you solemnly that I was sorry to have disappointed him. To be eaten by that beak and become part of him, to share those wings and those eyes. What a sublime end of one's body. What an enskyment. What a life after death.
Lovely. I know which word you liked.
That is the prayer. To be just utterly consumed by it.
That's fantastic.
But the other one just happened to be about, I just happened to be about a bird, about swallows, and it's utterly beautiful. I just found it today and just Lee, young Lee, little one, one heart. This isn't the swallow's one, one heart. Look at the birds. Even flying is born out of nothing. The first sky is inside you, open at either end of day. The work of wings was always freedom, fastening one heart to every falling thing. Hmm. Okay, swallows. How from the doldrums of the day they tumbled, only swallows skimming treetops. Yet no wheeling eagle could compete with this sudden squall of sickle wings, roller coasters sprung from nowhere, or conjured from the air itself, pouring in from everywhere like rain. No ordered flock, but schools of comets spinning tails of flame. Arsonists lighting the sodden woodlands and the greenwood of myself halfway through an August afternoon. They did not stay to fan the fire, so I sprouted wings of words and joined them, keen to learn what flying means. Not dragging wings through air as geese do, pumping steady over oceans, nor like egrets, snow-white flappers floating on the sky's black river. And nothing like the owl I saw today slide deathly mute through mazy pines. These masters lack what swallows effortlessly effuse. Not skill nor grace, but thrill and simmer. Flying exclamation points starting from no place to no place fast, banking and swerving like dervishes, like shards of light, bouncing on the trampoline of air. As if flight were not a flapping habit, but a dizzy calling, less a way of moving than of falling constantly into astonishment, then catching themselves midair and winging off to join the reeling flock.
Bravo.
It's an
amazing poem.
It's by Richard Schiffman.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry, I thought it was somebody else. I think you must have been a swallow in a previous life. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone, every swallow, every little swallow present. You can unmute yourselves and.
Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you. 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 Thank you.
Yeah.